And now to the Milwaukee Bucks play-by-play. Recognize this broadcaster.
Middleton's got 13 here in the fourth. Gives it up to Giannis. That's been your 1-2 punch. Speaking of punch, Giannis throws it home.
That is the voice of Lisa Byington, the Bucks TV play-by-play announcer on Bally Sports Wisconsin, which is the TV home for the Bucks. She took the seat of Jim Paschke, who retired after 35 years. What do you want to ask a color commentator? What have you wondered about play-by-play announcing? It's 800-642-1234. Here are some notes about Lisa's career. She's been a play-by-play announcer for the Tokyo Olympics, NCAA men's basketball tournaments, the Women's World Cup. She was behind the mic for her first regular season Bucks game in October. Lisa, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, when any woman breaks the proverbial glass ceiling, there's always a spotlight on how she got around that invisible barrier, and it even overshadows the actual work she did to land that job. So the fact that you're the first female full-time play-by-play broadcaster for a major men's professional sports team, that was the headline. But what can you tell us about your career trajectory and how you honed your craft of being a play-by-play broadcaster?
Well, I think the first thing is that you don't go about things thinking that you're going to be the first to do this or trying to break barriers. You pursue a passion, you pursue a job because it's what you want to do. And I've always said that my two parents, they're both educators, my mom and my dad. And so they're always about educating myself and my older sister. And when I was young, you know, I would go out and at recess, and sometimes I would be the only girl playing soccer at recess with the boys. But I never thought twice about it because that's what I wanted to do. And so my parents instilled in me in a really young age that you don't do things. There are no barriers based on gender. If you want to go do something, you go do something. And so that's how I've pursued my professional career. Everything from working at local news to eventually getting to the network level to now working in the NBA. All of those steps and those changes and the progression that I've made is just believing that you could do something, not because you're a woman or a man. It's just because you want to do it. And so that's how I've gone about my life.
But play-by-play, that is a whole other beast. That takes a lot of skill, especially in-the-moment skill. How did you know that you wanted to do that? And then how did you get those skills?
I didn't know for a long time. So I grew up playing sports, and I played two sports at the Division I level. I was recruited to Northwestern University to play basketball there for 4 years, and then I also walked onto the soccer team. So quite honestly, Kate, when I watched a broadcast or a sporting event on TV, I always thought that I could be the athlete playing in those sports. I was never watching those games with the ear of listening to the broadcasters because – you never think that you need that real job, right? When you're in high school and when you're in college, you don't think about the real world at all. And so I never really thought about what I was going to do until maybe like my junior year in college when I realized, okay, Lisa, you probably can't play sports for your entire life. So you got to figure out what you want to do. And quite frankly, at the time, I was thinking about studio hosting, and the show SportsCenter on ESPN was such a big thing back then when I was a little kid growing up. And so I always envisioned myself as kind of a SportsCenter anchor. It wasn't until later that actually a boss came to me and proposed to me the idea of doing a play-by-play game. And it was for a women's basketball game. It was Michigan State against Indiana. I happened to be a local reporter at the time in Lansing, Michigan, so I was right there, mm-hmm. and so the timing was good, and it was for the Big Ten Network, and so I tried it, liked it, wasn't very good at the beginning, but I tried it, liked it, and it really was at that point that I thought, you know what, I really like this skill, I like this job, and so that was kind of the turning point for me is when I started doing stuff for Big Ten Network is I started now watching games and sporting events with a broadcaster's ear, and I had never done that before. So, and to this day, I can always joke with people that I'm working, right, when I listen to a sporting event, because I'm listening to the back and forth with the broadcasters and stuff. So what a great job to have, right, where you can say that you're actually doing homework watching a sporting event.
One Bucks blogger called your style fair and objective. How do you walk that line between opinion and objectivity during a play-by-play commentary?
Well, you know, I've been, you know, sports has been my whole life, and I don't look at it really as my job to do a whole lot of judging, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I work with the analyst and whoever it is, the color commentator who I'm working with. It's really kind of their job to say why things aren't working or why things are working. It's my job to maybe set them up in that way. And, you know, you always want to give teams, situations, kind of the benefit of the doubt. I've always kind of thought that for my role, that's what my role is. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that people listen and watch and think that my broadcaster presentation is very fair, because that's the way I kind of approach it. So and of course, to have a little bit of fun as well. But the opinions, I think those are a lot of those are for the analyst role, and opinions are for kind of like the studio shows that you see that kind of give an opinion on coaches and players and stuff. And I really don't view that as my role at all.
What does your desktop look like during a game? What can you give us a picture?
My desktop.
Like what is around you during a game? Yes. And the tools that you're using as you call a game.
That's a good question. So to my left is always a statistician. They will kind of keep me honest with some things and scoring runs or even droughts. You know, if we're approaching a milestone, you know, they'll keep me honest with that kind of stuff, foul situations, whatever. And so finding a good statistician, and I have one in BJ Cronus that I've worked with in all the home games, so I'll give him a shout out. He's been great. To my right is the analyst. Marcus Johnson is our lead analyst, and Stephen Bardo has filled in sometimes for Marcus Johnson. And then next to Marcus is our stage manager, Leon Darun, and he's been great too. And so he kind of organizes things and makes sure that we know when we have our on cameras. He makes sure that we look nice and presentable when we do our on cameras. So you really have four people kind of sitting in a very small sort of broadcast table. In front of me, I have my broadcast boards, and I spent hours on those. And so to the left of on my boards is really the opponent, and to the right of my boards is the Milwaukee Bucks stuff. And what I have on my boards are everything from what college they played at, how many years they've been in the NBA, little nuggets, human interest nuggets, just different stats and that sort of thing. And then in front of me, I have my iPad, which is connected to the actual stats of the game. So it's live stats that continue to update. And so you're just kind of navigating through your notes, through the stats, through promos, through listening to your analyst. Also, you know, you've got your producer kind of chiming in your headset. And so a play-by-play really has to juggle a lot, and I'm not sure a lot of people realize how many voices and how many things you're kind of handling at the moment.
Oh, a lot going on. Milwaukee Bucks play-by-play announcer Lisa Byington giving us a peek into her world behind the mic calling the games. Are you a Bucks fan? How do sports journalists change your experience while watching a game? Where do you think the Bucks are headed this year, by the way? What questions do you have for a sports journalist who's covered everything from college football to the Olympics? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Lisa Byington here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. We're in conversation with Milwaukee Bucks play-by-play broadcaster Lisa Byington, the Bucks' first female to have this job. Have you ever tried play-by-play announcing? What was most challenging or rewarding about it? Do you dream of becoming a professional sports broadcaster? What questions do you have about that career path? Still time, 800-642-1234. Lisa Byington with us for about 9 more minutes. So, Lisa, what we're hearing from you is doing play-by-play is very different than, say, doing feature sports stories or being a sideline reporter on the field. Can you kind of give us a sense of what is so different about those other types of sports journalism?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've done all those other jobs as well. You know, I think the biggest thing with being a play-by-play is you're one of the main soundtracks of the game, and you're broadcasting the game live. If you're doing features on someone, you have the luxury of editing things. You know, you don't have the luxury of editing out what you say during a live broadcast. But when you're doing a feature and you're sitting down with someone and interviewing them, you have the time. You have the time to put that piece together. Sideline reporting, it's I kind of equate it to getting off on the exit of a highway. You got to get off in time and then, you know, be able to get back on the highway. There's usually, you know, small updates that you do as a sideline reporter from anywhere from 20 seconds to 40 seconds. And then that's your role. You have to get in and out of things. Sideline reporting is a version of kind of feature reporting, but it's also a version of observation reporting. What you see with from the bench or from the huddles, if we're talking about the sport of basketball, interactions that you hear, the back and forth of that. You have to be kind of the eyes and the ears on the court or on the field as a sideline reporter, that you have access and you can get closer maybe to the team than, let's say, necessarily a play-by-play or an analyst could. So there's all those different kind of roles, and it's much, much different being a reporter versus being a play-by-play.
Last year, we had a conversation with Julie DeCaro of Deadspin about her book Sidelined, and it really drills down into sexism in sports and what it was like for her to be a sports radio anchor. And I remember we talked about post-game athlete interviews in the locker room and how male sports journalists can land those locker room interviews, walk right in, no problem. But for female colleagues, getting the scoop in the locker room is really toxic, or you have to wait outside. Can you share any insights there or on the obstacles that female sports journalists still contend with today?
Well, you know, the era of COVID is not changing that, right? Because no one gets in the locker room. So a lot of them are in a press conference room, or a lot of them are via Zoom. So, maybe that's a situation or an issue that won't happen, ever again. Maybe, you know, we're forever changing in that way. Hmm. I think it's just expectations, you know. It seems like when a woman is broadcasting sports, whatever role you might be, whether it be a sideline reporter or a play-by-play or an analyst, studio host even, I feel like there are different layers of the acceptance of that woman doing that role. Number one, I think you have to prove that you know what you're talking about. And then number two, after that, then people kind of maybe are evaluating what you sound like and in that role. And I never feel like necessarily more times than not that a man in that role has to prove that he knows what he's doing. I always feel like that's the layer that women have to kind of fight through or get through, is prove to me first that you know the sport or you know what you're talking about. And then I'll decide if I like you as a broadcaster. That's, I think, the biggest challenge that I have seen that has to be overcome here in the future.
Interesting. Yes. Do you see that happening? Do you see it changing?
Well, slowly, yeah. And, you know, and I think it will change as long as we have more women broadcasting sports in several different roles. And I think that's the thing that is changing, is you look at all the major professional sports, and whether it's for one game or whether it's broadcasting now for a team, myself and Kate Scott are able to do that for teams now in the NBA. But if you look at the five major professional sports across the country, and a lot of management have actually given way to either a woman doing play-by-play or a woman being an analyst at any of those sports. Now, it might not be a consistent thing. It might be something where they do it, you know, one time kind of thing. But it's slowly but surely you're just opening up the doors. And that's what I think we need to see is the opportunity, more women in those roles. And then once we see more women in those roles, then it becomes more normalized. And I've always said that the moment that we can have a female voice broadcasting a men's game and have it be background noise is when I know that we've arrived. And what I mean by that, Kate, is think about how many times that you might have a sporting event on in the you know, family room, the den, wherever you're listening to it, and you're not really paying that much attention to it. It's background noise mm-hmm. for you. But the second you hear a female voice doing a quote-unquote men's game, whether it's basketball or football or baseball or men's soccer, you name it, and I'm guilty of it as anyone, you kind of stop and you listen and you yes. try to figure out who's that female announcer mm-hmm. doing that game. So the second that we can stop whatever we're doing to try to figure out who that female announcer is doing that men's game, then I know that we've arrived.
Circling back to COVID for just a moment, your first home game at Pfizer Forum was in October. And since then, COVID numbers fluctuating. We're in a surge now. This season, fans are allowed back at Pfizer, masks required. How have you seen game time atmosphere change, the tenor change, the fans change over the course of the pandemic?
Well, I had to broadcast a lot of games last year at several different levels where there weren't any fans, mm-hmm. you know, so it's very much welcome to have fans back. And I appreciate some of the safety precautions that the Bucks and Five Star Forum are going through to make sure that we can continue right now to have fans during a pandemic. But the energy is still there. Five Star Forum is awesome. And it is the best home environment in the NBA. And the fans are so passionate about the Bucks, and I love it. Whether they had masks on at the beginning of the year or now when they have to wear masks, they just bring the passion, the noise, the emotion in the building. And so I've absolutely loved it, and especially loved it contrasting it with what it was last year, where it was basically almost broadcasting a practice, you know, with maybe a few fans in the stands.
Lisa, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Byington, Bucks TV play-by-play announcer on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Bally Sports Wisconsin, the TV home of the Bucks. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.